Dear faithful, today is the first Sunday of Lent. The epistle for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed, but in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. The tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and sent him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. Do you therefore take courage, and let not your hands be weakened, for there shall be a reward for your work. The words are taken from the Old Testament Book of Wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, on Ash Wednesday we began the 40-day period of preparation for Easter, which is known as Lent. On Easter Sunday, of course, we will celebrate the triumph of our Lord over death, and we look forward to our own triumph with him someday in heaven. But Lent is a reminder to us that if we are to reign with Christ, we must first suffer with him. Our Lord says that he who does not take up the cross and follow him is not worthy of him. During this holy season, the Church imposes the Lenten fast upon her children to help us practice the penance that we should. But it is also a Catholic custom to impose certain other mortifications upon ourselves, giving up things which are lawful in themselves to make reparation for sin. And we do this in imitation of our Lord, who deliberately chose a life of poverty, who allowed men to humiliate him with a shameful death. We may also resolve to say extra prayers, to practice kindness towards a particular person, perform a particular duty better, more faithfully. And these practices are known usually as Lenten resolutions. And when kept faithfully during Lent, they are a source of many graces and an excellent way of forming good habits that we can take with us even when Lent is over. No matter what resolutions we've made for this Lent, I'd like to offer you three different types of people to consider. There are three different types of people who make resolutions. And this Lent, we will fall into one of these three categories. We will be like St. John, the beloved apostle, or we will be like St. Peter, or we will be like Judas. All three of these men were apostles called by our Lord to follow him in a special way, to participate in his life and his sufferings, and one day to have a very high place with him in heaven. We too are called for this same purpose, each according to his or her vocation in life. We are called to imitate the life and virtues of Christ, to partake in some measure of his sufferings, and to be with him for all eternity. So it's helpful to consider these three men, John, Peter, and Judas, and see what they have to teach us about how to follow our Lord this Lent. Judas Iscariot, of course, was one of the 12 apostles. He received from our Lord the power to work miracles, power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. He was given a post of importance among the other 12, and in all truth, we can say that he was very close to being Saint Judas. However, early on in his apostleship, we can see indications of his coming infidelity. There were petty thefts from the common purse, incredulity when our Lord promised to institute the Blessed Sacrament, critical thoughts and uncharitable speech towards St. Mary Magdalene. And of course, eventually, Judas fell so far as to actually betray our Lord, to sell him for a few coins to his enemies. This betrayal was not the worst crime. It was bad, but our Lord was ready to forgive it. Our Lord called Judas friend in the Garden of Gethsemane, even after the betrayal had been accomplished. The worst sin of Judas was that he despaired of pardon. He lost hope in the love and mercy of our Lord. Then there was St. Peter, who really did love our Lord deeply. He had a very generous but impulsive nature. All throughout his time as an apostle, Peter was making great promises. He was walking on water with faith and then sinking the next moment when he began to doubt. Boldly professing the faith one moment, then officiously trying to keep the children from our Lord the next. St. Peter often spoke and acted before he thought. But he did have a big heart, and our Lord appreciated that. At the Last Supper, St. Peter seemed to understand better than the other apostles that our Lord was trying to prepare them for his coming passion and death, and Peter alone emphatically declared that he was ready to go with our Lord to prison and even to death. Never would he leave the side of Christ, he said. But our Lord looked at him with perhaps a sad smile and said, "Amen, I say to you, this night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. But Peter only insisted, even if I have to suffer death. Even, he said, as if all the others abandon you, I never will. And of course, only a short time later in the garden, when our Lord asked Peter, James, and John to remain awake and to pray, Peter could not. Three times our Lord came seeking comfort in his agony, and three times he found Peter asleep. When Judas arrived with the soldiers and the temple police, Peter and the other apostles fled, leaving Christ alone. Peter came back. He tried to follow Christ at a distance, but when he was challenged by a servant girl and several courtiers of the high priest, he began to declare emphatically that he was no friend of Jesus. He even swore an oath that he did not know our Lord. Just as our Lord had predicted, he made that statement three times. And then he heard the cock crow. Our Lord was actually standing on a balcony overlooking the courtyard of the high priest's home at the time. He was within earshot as Peter spoke. Sacred Scripture says that as the last oath left the mouth of this prince of the apostles, Jesus turned and looked at him. Peter's eyes met the gaze of Christ. He remembered the words of our Lord, and he remembered his own arrogant promise. He was filled with shame and sorrow. He ran from the courtyard and he wept. He wept tears of true contrition for his sin. So sincere was his repentance that never again would he fall. He would lead the church after our Lord's ascension. He would strengthen and confirm his fellow apostles. And in the end, he would give his life for the faith of Christ. And lastly, there was St. John, who was the youngest of the apostles. He was the innocent one. He was the apostle beloved by Christ. St. John was with our Lord in the garden when the soldiers came to arrest him. The apostles all fled when they saw that our Lord would not use his power to defend himself. But unlike the other apostles, only St. John thought of going to Our Lady. He loved Our Lord, of course, but under the circumstances, he didn't know how to follow him. Should he try to resist the soldiers? Should he try to rescue Our Lord? Should he offer himself in Our Lord's place? Should he at least offer to die with him? St. John was afraid, and he really didn't know what to do. But he did know that if he went to Mary, she would keep him close to our Lord. He knew that if he were with the Blessed Mother, he would be right where our Lord wanted him to be. And so he did. He ran to Mary, and he stayed by her side throughout the entire Passion. He accompanied her to the house of the high priest. He was with her at the hall of Pilate. With her, he watched the scourging and the crowning with thorns. And he even helped Our Lady to approach Christ on the Via Dolorosa. And finally, they stood together beneath the cross on Calvary. So during Lent, we make our resolutions, things to do and things to avoid. But how will we keep these resolutions? May we never be like Judas. If we should fail and break our resolutions, we must not despair. Sometimes people think that because they have broken a good resolution, that means Lent is over for them. There's nothing to do but give up. That's exactly what the devil would want us to think. The fact of the matter is, it is never too late to have a good Lent. If we should fail in our resolutions, we have to be like St. Peter. We must see our Lord turning to look upon us, not in condemnation, but in entreaty, that we pick ourselves back up and keep trying. Just humbly ask pardon for our weakness, but then we have to move forward and not think about those faults again. Ideally, of course, we must strive to be like St. John. Be perfect in our fidelity to our Lord and to stay with him throughout his passion. And this we will do if we live Lent in the company of Our Lady. If we take a few moments each morning to consider one of her sorrows, if we try to carry the thought of that sorrow with us throughout the day, then we will have something to turn to when Lent seems long, when our resolutions seem impossible to keep, or when we have just grown impatient with them. If in these moments we run to Our Lady, she will keep us close to our Lord, and we will be a source of comfort to their sorrowing hearts, and we will be well prepared to rejoice with them when our Lord rises in glory on Easter Sunday. As it says in Sacred Scripture, words we can think of as the weeks go by, "Do you therefore take courage, and let not your hands be weakened, for there shall be a reward for your work." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.